This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. Splash Refresher spices up my daily water intake by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Every Splash Refresher flavor is delicious, bright, flavorful, and zero calories. I don't waste time on flavorless water I don't enjoy. I just drink Splash and I like it.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade.
My favorite is the mandarin orange flavor.
There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Hello and welcome to Childproof by Betches Media. I'm Gwenna Lathland.
And I'm Tori Phantom. This episode is dedicated to every parent who is breaking generational cycles of trauma and distrust.
And to all the folks who were just trying to do better by their kids than was done by them.
All right, let's get to talking about kids and privacy.
But first, let's start the timer. Okay, so first, before we have this discussion, it's probably a good idea to define what is privacy in the terms of parenting. Like, we get as adults what privacy is, but as far as parenting goes, like, there's different things to consider because it's not just time to yourself, space to yourself, thought to yourself.
And it's not just being able to close the door when you're getting dressed because you deserve that autonomy.
Right. Because there does come, yes, you are entitled to privacy, but also you have the impulse control of a child. Like, I need to be able to.
Because you are a child.
Right. Like, I need to be able to make sure that what you are using your privacy for is, in fact, healthy, conducive, even if it's doing nothing, even if it's nothingness.
Right.
Are we making healthy choices with that nothingness?
And we want to make sure that they're being safe, that boundaries are being followed, that there's a good line of communication about what that privacy looks like.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, you don't want things to get sticky. And then afterwards, you're like, I should have done that differently. I always prefer to do too much. That's just kind of my thing.
So I have a question for you. Is privacy for children, is that a right or is it a privilege?
Both.
Okay. Is there a delineation between when it falls between right and there is for me, there is a delineation. It is a right up until, and then it becomes a privilege that we're working constantly to move back to right.
Yeah. So I think that so long as the trust is maintained, mm-hmm. it continues to be a right. Mm-hmm. Now, if the trust is broken, and of course, like my kids are younger, I think that it is a little bit different for you having a teenager, but having a preteen, you know, we're into that area where that trust really needs to be strong.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we haven't really had any moments where I'm like, I don't trust you now. Mm-hmm. But if that trust is broken, you know, because trust is easier to lose than it is to earn.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, it can take one simple mistake, one simple lie to really shatter that foundation of trust. And when that happens, it is so hard to trust again. That takes time.
For both sides.
Yes. And that can have so many extra feelings attached to it because, like, if you did make a mistake and you broke the trust and you're like, I'm sorry, like, that's not going to happen again. And you end up feeling frustrated because why don't you trust me? It was just one mistake. But depending on what it was,
right.
You know, that can be really tricky. Right. And so I think that privacy is absolutely a right. But I also think when we're talking about children, just like everything else, it has to be age appropriate. I think that mm-hmm. also applies to privacy. And so, yes, kids have a right to privacy. But I think especially when we're getting into these bigger concepts of like when they're getting on technology and things like that, that is not a right to privacy until we feel that the understanding of the safety protocols and the boundaries and the why. Once that is firmly in place, I think that's where that privacy is kind of earned in those spaces. Because realistically, we have to let our kids have privacy online before they leave the house.
Yeah.
Because once they're gone, I hope that they had some time to learn and fail safely under your roof where I made a mistake online, I need mom's help, and they're only 16, where you're still there and you can help versus 19 and it's their first time without any supervision online and they're like,
So this is one of those places where I diverge greatly from my own experience growing up because my mom was very much very tight, very controlled. I did have privacy, but not the same type of privacy that I grant. It's not even the same flavor. It's not like my kids have more or less privacy than I had. It's just a different flavor of privacy that we were granted. But my mom very much like iron fist. No, if there's a chance that you're going to make a mistake with it, it's my job to protect you from that. And so when I got onto my own and was out in the real world and my mom couldn't stop me, I did really stupid shit.
Yeah. See, and I am the opposite of my parents because I had free reign online. My parents had no idea what the internet was at the time, right? And I think this is one of the only times that the age difference between you and I really matters when we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Because I was a preteen in the early 2000s. I was a teenager. Like, I went to high school, graduated in 2010.
My MySpace era were my college days.
Right. I was on MySpace at 12. So,
right.
You know, a little bit different. And because of that, my parents weren't very privy to what the internet could be, and the things that I saw, I will never unsee. And I had total privacy online and no privacy anywhere else. It was, this is my house, my rules. You're just living in it. Nope, you don't get to do anything. I have a right to everything about you. You're basically my property. And in my house, I have totally flipped the script. This is, you have full autonomy over your body. Privacy is absolutely respected, even if we need communication surrounding it. But if you are online, we're going to have 74 conversations, and I am going to check in regularly because the internet is scary.
So I'll tell you where we are in the debate of privacy in our house is not with Abby. This is about the littles. The littles, we still have baby monitors in place. They are five, and they are not permanently recording. So they're not just on, they're not hooked up to anything, but we can access those cameras at any point. We use them primarily because they're five. Mm-hmm. They have the impulse control of five-year-olds. And because our master bedroom is really far away from their rooms. And when I say really far away, I'm talking like not next door, because I used to share a drywall with my kids and now I have to walk 40 steps. And so in my anxiety ridden brain, that's really, really far away. And what if I don't hear them crying because they puked in the middle of the night? So
my kids would walk the 40 steps to let me know they puked.
But we are at the point where we're like, okay, this is a crutch for us and no longer a safety element for them. And we need to turn those off. We need to uninstall them because we are wandering into that right to privacy where we already enforce the, no, when you're changing, no one needs to be in the room with you unless you have specifically asked for help. And we are now wandering into, you need to close the door when you're peeing, because when you're potty training, you don't close the door.
Right.
Like everyone's all up for that experience and celebrating the poop came out of your butt. Okay, but now we're five. We're definitely potty trained now. You close the door just to pee.
I don't need to see. No, that's a different conversation. That's modesty. I have a kid who doesn't care where they get changed at any time. Yeah. And I have had to say, like, listen, I love how comfortable you are in your skin. Not everyone wants to see it, but not it.
Right. Right. Well, and yeah, it is sort of the bridge between modesty. I want you to be comfortable in your body, but also, you know, cover parts of it. Cause, you know, just generally speaking.
That's... Yeah. Also, like, consent to the idea that other people don't want to see.
But then that is so intrinsically wrapped up into privacy. Every time I turn on one of those baby monitors, hey, bud, what you doing? I'm doing it because I'm hearing very distinct, I'm playing in the water noises in the bathroom.
Mm. Oh, that's right. Because your kids do have a bathroom attached. It's like, that's important context. Yes. Yeah. So between their rooms, there's a bathroom, and five-year-olds in bathrooms are...
not great combos.
Not always great. Not always great. The water can be a little too fun when it's not supposed to be.
So we'll hear those telltale signs of, this is not a time to be washing hands or brushing teeth. Why do I hear the faucet on? Why is that faucet on?
What are you doing?
There's nothing stopping us from standing up and going, hey, bud, what you doing? Same difference, but we're just doing it with technology that is available to us. But it has recently come to light in our own brains, like, we might actually be encroaching on their privacy more than is reasonable for this age, we probably need to uninstall the monitors.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to stow away those jackets and sweaters and break out the shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Okay, yes, it's time to put away the sweaters unless you married a polar bear. I definitely married a polar bear, and he keeps this house at a number I don't want to say because it's too low. My saving grace is that I get to wear the softest cotton sweater. It's so cozy and it's bulky and I love it and I get to use it all year round.
Quince sweaters are so good. Quince has amazing items like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/childproof for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/childproof to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
One last time, quince.com/childproof.
Did you know that summer is so close?
I've been trying desperately not to think about it.
And our kids are going to be home from sunup to sundown for several months. I love them so much. I love spending time with them. I have so many exciting things planned, but we're also going to have a lot of downtime. We need things to do for the rainy day that are going to keep them engaged and help them to be creative. And I found the solution, KiwiCo.
Oh, it's raining and gross outside? Cool. Would you like to dig up dinosaurs or build a windmill? Those are the Kiwi kits we have.
KiwiCo encourages kids to get outside, explore, and stay off their screens. Awesome projects from the summer adventure series like the Bottle Rocket Kit, where kids build an actual bottle rocket, help to turn outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. We've made the bottle rocket and it was incredibly fun.
You'll be surprised at how high quality the materials are too. These are real engineering, science, and art projects for children. As a parent, it can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children busy and challenged. KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off on your summer adventure series at kiwico.com with promo code ChildproofSummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at kiwico.com. Promo code Childproof Summer.
Once more, kiwico.com, promo code Childproof Summer.
I think that's one of those things where you don't always recognize that your kid has entered this new realm of cognitive existence until you have kind of like that wake up call. I know, like for me, one time, I have this thing that I've always done with my kids in public bathrooms. If they don't have to go, because I have an overactive bladder, I always have to go pee. That's just a fact. Like
I have to go pee right now, but I'll be okay.
Literally, it's always okay. So, having this, my kids don't always have to go pee, and so if we go in a public bathroom, especially when they're younger, what I would have them do, because they don't need to go in the stall, especially some stalls are small, they stand outside the stall I'm in, and they just have their foot by the door, because if I can see their foot, I know they're right there. Perfect. And a year or so ago, I went somewhere with just my eldest and it was kind of a crowded place and I had to use the restroom. She didn't. And I said, okay, I'm going to hop in the stall. You sure you don't have to go? You want to come over here? And she looked at me and was like, Mom, I'm 10 years old. I can just stand over there, like in the sitting area.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be fine. And it was like that moment for me because I'm like, oh shit.
No, that's reasonable. Yeah, you're right, kid.
Yeah, no, that's totally reasonable. I'm just like, it was such a habitual thing that she told me, like, Mom, I'm fine. I can stand right here and not go anywhere. I'm not five anymore. I'm not going to wander.
No, I had a brain glitch moment the other day. Abby and I had gone somewhere and she's like, I'm going to run in real quick and grab this because we'd stopped at a gas station before we got to our final destination. I was like, do you want me to come in with you? Mom, I'm literally driving the damn car. No, I can go into 7-Eleven by myself. I'm sorry. That was just
fine.
That was
just give me some chips while you're in there. Give me a snack too.
Right. Okay, then fine. Give me a Monster. That's still, it doesn't get better. Just FYI. Yeah. It doesn't get better. Right. So I know because I have context. I know that one time Tori Phantom made a video.
Mm-hmm. I do that sometimes.
And they made a video that it got kind big.
Shook
and
the internet. Yeah.
Because you let your kid lock a door.
I do. And I think at the time I made the video, she was 8.
So you are a big fan of being able to lock the door. How does that work? Because like in my head, I'm like, absolutely not. No.
Right. And that's honestly, that's what like a lot of people heard in the video, even though I provided context and explained the boundaries and how this works very specifically. And that it was like one of those doors that I could like literally use my thumbnail to turn and just open it. Like it wasn't locked. Yeah. And I explained all that, but people were like, you're horrible.
What if there's a fire?
What if there's a fire? I just told you I can open the door. Basically here's how this works. Okay. And here's why this works and the rules surrounding it. And a couple times when I did tell this kid she was not allowed to lock the door.
Yeah.
So the reason this came about is because my eldest kid is 5 years older than one of her sisters and 6 years older than the other. There's an age gap, right?
Yeah.
So the two littles are a year and a half apart. And they're little sisters. And she has things that she doesn't want little sisters in. Okay. Right. So this was probably 8, 9 years old is when this started. And so at the time, I think I said 5 and 6 years older. She's 4 and 5 years older. So she's like 8, 9 years old. Sisters are 3, 4, right? Which is like prime goblin energy for those children, especially two of them together, you know?
Right.
And so with this kiddo specifically, she has this extensive crystal collection. She has so many art supplies. She has things that little shouldn't touch. And at the time, we were still working on making sure they were respecting those boundaries. And a lot of times they'd be good with it, but also it's just, Mom, I'm trying to read a book. I'm trying to draw a picture. And even though they'll stay out for a little while, they're coming back in. And, you know, I'm doing my best to run interference and to do whatever. But, you know, you get to that point and it wasn't all the time. It's not like it was out of control, but it was like some days she's like, I just want some space.
Yeah.
And I said, and I checked to make sure I could unlock the door. And that was the first time I said, you can go ahead and lock this door. And her and I have a special knock pattern we have used since she was little because we used to have to travel together alone.
Yeah.
And we have established like code words, code knocks, all these things. So we always know it's each other.
Right.
So I told her, you can lock the door. I will come and check on you every 10, 15 minutes or so, like especially in the beginning of this. And you'll know it's me because I'll use our knock. And then you come open the door. And so it built this trust of, I know what she's doing. I know what she's literally like drawing a picture. And she just wants to be alone and she's respecting the boundary. And so from that moment, it became if she wanted to have this alone time, this privacy, she could communicate to me, Mom, can I lock my door for a while? I just want some alone time.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. And so there have been times where she locked the door without telling me.
Yeah.
And in those times, that's a conversation of, hey, you know the boundary here because if there was an emergency, I need to know what's going on. And so does she lock the door a lot? No, she doesn't. But she's allowed to.
Right.
With that communication in place. But that's the important part of it.
And I think the lock is what rocks back and forth between the right and the privilege. You have a right to be able to be in your room without your immature impulse control siblings barging in on you. Mm-hmm. The privilege you get because we have trust is that you can lock the door to ensure that their impulse control doesn't win.
Right. And it also, I mean, as we talk about with every situation when it comes to kids, is that it doesn't just matter how old they are. It also matters who the kid is.
Yes.
My eldest kid, she is so cautious. She was like born as a little adult. I don't know how else to explain this. Like when she was little and an only child, I was like, this must be my superior parenting. And then my middlest goblin kiddo was born and she put me right in my place.
Never mind. It wasn't me at all.
Because it's not like she's not a bad kid, right? But she's just like that kid has no fear. It's terrifying.
The reason we're still having the baby monitor debate is because of my son.
Yeah.
It's just my son.
Right. And so like with my eldest, I don't have this concern that she is going to be up to no good. Like she's probably drawing a dragon and trying to learn animation. That's probably what's happening. And I can check in with her. So that's not a concern of mine. Now, my middlest, She doesn't need to lock a door yet.
Yeah.
We're good. We're not there yet.
Mm-mm. Yeah. My oldest is not allowed to lock her door, even though she's 16. She can operate a motor vehicle. She can just be like, Mom, I'm going to go to Walmart because I want eggnog. Okay. Bye. Not a problem at all. She cannot lock a door only because the level of trust that falls apart is her remembering to unlock her own door. And the way our doors lock, it's got the pin lock. So you have to have a little rod to go in there and push the little thing to unlock it.
Have you tried the credit card trick?
They installed the doors correctly and the latches go the wrong way for the credit card trick. So she's not allowed to lock her door mainly because it does not unlock when you turn from the inside. You can turn around and close the door still in the locked position. And inevitably, when she has done that, she has the pin key inside her friggin' room. So she's not allowed.
Okay.
She's not allowed to. Not because she doesn't deserve the ability to lock her door, just because she is her mother's daughter and will forget that she's locked it and lock herself out of it.
That's part of the locking thing in our house and the way that boundary works. There's a time limit on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can lock your door for like an hour and then like join the family again. Like, let's allow for that space to, you know, and there's always room to wiggle with that. Right. If you're like really into something and really need that space. Sure. But typically, I mean, she doesn't lock the door so much anymore anyway, because her sisters are older and they're pretty good at respecting boundaries. Yeah.
Well, and we did swap out the door in the bathroom. So especially for her, especially with having young siblings who don't have any sense of modesty, we swapped the handle out on the bathroom door that she uses. So it locks from the inside, but the minute you turn the handle, it automatically unlocks. So turn the handle from the inside, but it locks from the outside and it prevents the boy child and the girl child from just walking in.
Because kids have this way of only, like, it's like there's two times you know your kids are going to need something from you. And one of them is when you answer a phone call. And the second time is when you sit on the toilet.
Yes.
They will be totally in their own space doing their own thing. And the second you close the door to the bathroom, they're suddenly at the door. Can this wait 10 seconds?
Right.
Just 10 seconds.
The main bathroom that Abby uses is also the general access bathroom. And it's one of those long galley ones. So if she's in the tub or on the toilet, there's no possible way she can reach the door to like prevent it from opening. Like, there's the whole double sink between her and the door. So if my son just, hey, the name they call her, Abby, I am pooping. Get out.
Please give me space. I would like to do this alone. This is a solo activity.
Spring has sprung, and that means it's time for spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase.
Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. So you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you're purchasing.
The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, new warm weather bedding, or a flight for that summer getaway.
Other apps give you points that don't amount to much. With Ibotta, just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards.
Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all of your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code CHILDPROOF when you register.
Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code CHILDPROOF. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code CHILDPROOF. Hydrating doesn't have to be boring. Splash Refresher spices it up by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Splash Refreshers are delicious, bright, flavorful, and available in 5 craveable flavors. It has 0 sugar, 0 calories, and a splash of sweetness for a hydrating and delicious beverage you'll come back to again and again.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade, so I'm getting hydrated, and it just feels like I'm drinking lemonade.
Splash Refresher perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with 0 sugar and 0 calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, wild berry, acai grape, pineapple mango, lemon, and mandarin orange, Splash Refresher is there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
They are delicious, bright, flavorful, and hydrating, and 0 calories. So you can have fun flavored water without any guilt. Consider your hydrated self thriving.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Okay, so one more question on the rooms thing.
Okay.
Do you knock every time? Barring emergency, I'll just automatically remove emergency. We need to go. I need to be in your room and we need to be moving. Barring emergency, do you knock every time?
Okay. So my littles don't ever really close the door except for bedtime. Close before you doze. That's important. I'm going to get to that. I first want to say this, right? Because I said that my eldest could lock her door for privacy from her sisters. Those sisters share a bedroom. They also deserve privacy from each other. So we actually have a system where if one of them wants to be alone, they if they have communicated this to sister and sister isn't listening for some reason, they come and ask me and I help them either A, get their room to themselves, or B, find a space for them to have their alone time. Because I think that it is so important to be able to have that time alone. Now, for knocking, right? We're really only going to be talking about my eldest because she does close her door sometimes. I am now, because you asked me this question, recognizing that I do the dad knock.
Yeah. The knock, knock immediately knock open.
While you open the door. Yeah.
Yeah.
It hasn't been a problem though. Like I might ask her actually when we're done here, I'm going to ask if that bothers her, if I should wait.
Parenting assessment in real time, ladies, gentlemen.
I'm realizing like I just knock and kind of open, but she doesn't even close her door much. So it's like, I haven't had to knock much. Do you knock?
I knock on my 16-year-old's door without fail. I will knock. I will wait. And most of the time, just to be annoying, I'll knock and she'll be like, what? And I won't say anything and I'll make her come open the door. It's a dick move. I know what I'm doing. I could just ask the thing or open the door myself. But I'm like, no, it's your room. Please open the door. And I'll hear her like, because she's got a nest on her bed. I'll hear her like, unweaving herself from her neck. What?
Such a mean mom.
Do you want ice cream? Yes. But we're also a 21st century. So half the time I'm up and I'm knocking. The other half the time I'm just texting her. Do you want ice cream? If so, come here. But the littles, so they close their door all the time. We just moved into a house that allowed them to have their own rooms, which turned out to be way more vital than we thought it was going to be. They're doing so much better with their own rooms, which is not something that everyone has the ability to grant, but it is something.
I mean,
that we
even
had the
with us, my kids share a room. So,
right.
Yeah.
We were incredibly privileged to be able to get the place that allowed all three of our kids to have their own space. And they do close the door because we have two dogs who do not give a shit. And they will just wander in, and one of them still technically a puppy. And it's amazing how similar dog toys and kid toys are.
Ah, yes.
They close the doors. And in the same conversation that we're having about uninstalling the baby monitors, we're also, we need to start knocking. And like, we'll start the dad knock. It's more of a expectation training, like knock, knock. Hey, here's the thing that I was going to tell you. And then that will eventually shift to knock, knock, pause. I'm going to come in and then knock, knock and wait for them to respond.
And that's like the younger they are, like they still get the privacy, but it's also with check-ins. Like, okay, you are entitled to your alone time. But I have had experience with you where I literally just left the room for 2 minutes and somehow you painted a whole wall. I don't know where you got the paint. There's glitter everywhere. And that took you 30 seconds.
Right.
Where did the glitter come? Okay. So like, you get your alone time, but also the younger you are, the more frequently I'm going to peek my head in and be like, you still good? You still good? But I will say, I think that one of the things that is different about us and the reason that you have the monitors where you are going to check in more and the knocking is going to happen more, I think your family is a more in your room family.
Yes.
Because I think that it can go two ways. Because when I was growing up, we all just spent time in our own spaces. And now and then we would like be like, oh, yes, other people live here too. But in my house, we're very rarely in our bedrooms. They're kind of just for sleeping. And so, and that's just how we work here. And both of us are right. Both of us are fine. Because I think for you, more toys stay in the bedroom, right?
Yes, toys, with some exception. I mean, I'm not a kid-free looking house, but toys stay in the bedroom. And if you want to bring them out and play with them in the common space, absolutely bring them out. And then when you're done, you just go put them back in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Because that's where they live. Our together time is intentional. We have family dinners, we play games, we have movie nights, we have picnic parties, like, right. or we get in the car and we go places together. But then we also very much have time of you go play in your room, you go play in your room, you go play in your room. I'm going to read a book.
For us, we have like my living room where I'm painting that the mural that if you yeah. follow me on any social media, you've seen it. That is this family room has. It's basically a technology-free space outside of things that yeah. can create music. And yeah. so we have our board games out there. We have bookshelves out there. We have our art supplies out there. My coffee table is actually just a Lego table now. That's yeah. So this is the family area where kids can yeah. bring things out. Now, of course, they do still have to bring the toys back to their room. But right. generally speaking, unless we're doing screen time or someone wants alone uh-huh. time, we're all kind of vibing in that space. So yeah. I think that's just an interesting different way that it is. So like if you want privacy, you just leave that area.
Right.
And you just go off on your own.
Right.
But the doors.
A second ago. Yeah, about the doors. I was going to read mm-hmm.
that. Yeah. There. Yeah. Stop taking doors off. Stop it. Stop taking doors.
Did you have your door removed as a child?
Okay. Not exactly. There was a time I wasn't allowed to close the door. And then at one point the door did get broken in a very aggressive way.
You don't have to finish telling that story.
And then also my windows got cemented shut at one point.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah, normal stuff.
I never had my door removed. It was definitely threatened, but my mom is more similar to me in this way, in that if she took the door off, it also removed the barrier between her and me. If that makes sense. Like it was one of those, yes, I'm punishing the kid, but I'm also having to endure the punishment myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So it got threatened, right. but I never did lose my door. But all removing a door is going to do. And if you're getting defensive already and we haven't even offered explanations, I'm so sorry. I hope you have a good therapist. Please don't remove the door. Not only is it horribly irresponsible from a fire safety perspective.
Close before your dose. If you don't know what that means, look it up. It is very serious. The door can yeah. save your life.
The door can absolutely save your life. If there is a house fire, doors are magical portals between fire spaces.
Because of air. Science.
You can go look it up. I'm not a fire safety expert, but we do close doors before going to bed. Every door in the house that can be closed is closed, including bathrooms.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
all it's going to do is prove to your kids that they cannot trust you.
And you might have taken the door or want to take the door because you don't trust them, but it's not going to help the way you want it to. It's a punishment. It's not going to build anything. It's not going to help. And as a kid who grew up in a very authoritarian household where I had absolutely no privacy and was very much under a microscope, everything I did was probably wrong. Now, of course, this is a very extreme
yeah.
anecdote. My childhood is not that of even strict parents. This went beyond that.
Yes.
You know, we don't need a trauma dump here, but okay. Like I go to therapy twice a week. All right. So like my parents got mad at my brother once and they flipped the doorknob around so they could lock him in. Okay. Like, okay. It's different. It is. Yeah. It's different.
Uh-huh. You can't yeah. see my face cause it's a podcast, but it's not.
You can imagine what that face, you're probably making it too. So while my childhood is a more extreme case, right? I did whatever I wanted because the more strict that things got, the sneakier I got.
Yes.
And that's, you know, I snuck out of the house all the time because I felt like I had no privacy, no autonomy. Uh-huh. That's how the window got cemented shut. Yeah. I never went out the window. So that like my angsty teenage brain was just tickled by that. And I kept going out the back door, you know, but, you know, so it's
wrong portal, Dad.
If you want to build the trust with your kid, like you are absolutely, I think as parents, as adults, as people, we're entitled to feeling anger. Yes. We're entitled to feeling like our trust was violated, like our yes. boundaries were violated, we're entitled to feel concerned based on whatever rule was broken, the behavior that's happening. Uh-huh. But I challenge you to really sit with, if this is what's happening and you want to take a door off or take away all privacy, to consider, is this actually going to help? Yeah. And are there other options? Can we like actually sit down and think of all the different things we can do? And maybe there's a little bit from everything. Like maybe we can't have the privacy you had, but maybe we still allow it in these areas. Like we were talking about the difference between the right and the privilege. Like maybe this becomes a privilege right now while right. we're working on this together. Because it, I think in those instances that the trust is broken between both parties and your those kid parties, has to trust right. you too.
By the time baby number two comes, you feel superhuman. You totally have it all figured out. You got this. But then the reality sets in. It's more than twice the work and can sometimes feel like absolute chaos. It's obviously not always going to go right, but you'll take any opportunity to make it a little easier. The Honest Company has a new line of calming products for the whole family, so your little ones will go down easier and you can have a moment of honest relaxation. The Calm Collection is a line of dreamy and calming lavender products to help make you and your baby's bedtime routine smoother. They have lavender wipes to clean up sticky hands and messes, a Calm lavender bath and body set that's both gentle enough for babies and soothing self-care for moms, lightweight lavender body oil to help wind down before bedtime, and fun purple printed pajamas made with 100% certified organic cotton. The sooner your little ones go to bed, the sooner you are able to relax. For a little while, anyway. Their Calm Lavender Collection is made with lavender essential oils that help calm babies before bed, and their super absorbent overnight diapers have up to 12 hours of leak protection. With a focus on sustainability and clean products, The Honest Company works with toxicologists at their in-house lab to create eco-friendly, safe, and effective products you can feel good using. Body products are naturally derived and designed for all skin types, while their diapers are made with plant-based materials that are ultra-soft and super absorbent. Good for your whole family and your environment. Try Honest for yourself. Shop at Target, Amazon, Walmart, and honest.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Most of the time, I would say anytime you've got... if you've gotten to a behavioral issue, first of all, I really hope you're working in co-related consequences. So the fact that you are considering removing the door has something to do with abusing, closing it, abusing, locking it, sneaking it out. If you're threatening to take away the door because they've got a bad grade in school, we've got a whole other series of conversations we need to be having because those two things questions. Are not related. Probably not.
I told my kid once, I don't like slamming doors. I hate slamming doors. I hate yeah. that. And it hasn't happened often, but one time my kid got really mad at me, my middlest.
Yeah.
And she slammed that door and I shouted, "Unslam that door." What? What is
unslam?
Unslam that. And she literally like opened the door back up and raised an eyebrow of skepticism at me, like, "What?" And I was also looking at her like, "What did I?" And I said, "Unslam the door." And she went, "Okay." And so she like slowly opened it and then acted like she was going to slam it, stopped and closed it nicely. And I said, "Thank you."
Okay. Random parenting hack. If you've got a door slammer, we have doors that are basically sheets of paper. And so you put just the slightest amount of force behind them and between the airflow in the house and the weight of the door and my children, not a single one of them know how strong they are. The damn things yeah. slam constantly. Yeah. Packing peanut. You can tape a packing peanut to the very top of the door. It allows you to close the door, but you have to use force to close the door. Like you actually have to physically pull
it. I'm gonna do that in my bedroom because I have my HVAC is in the ceiling. So
yeah, and it
kicks
slams
on,
it shut.
And it
yeah.
slams my door shut and I'm really jumpy. So every time it does that, I just like hop out of my skin.
Yeah, if you can find the biodegradable packing peanuts, they work best, but any of the styrofoam peanuts wow. will work. But yeah, just tape it to the top corner of the door. It prevents the door from slamming, but it does mean that you have to conscientiously turn and close the door because you can't just let it shut behind you. Like you have to turn around and actually close the door. Anyway, random parenting hack. Yeah, stop taking doors off the thing.
It's not helping.
It's not doing the thing that you think it's going to do.
Yeah, they're not learning a lesson. They're just mad at you. That's how that works.
If you have this idea in your head of, oh, well, my kid and I seem to have a strained relationship, but they're really not acting out. Like I take the door away and that corrected their behavior. Okay, so Tori's childhood was real, real fucked up. And they lived that sneaky outy life in direct result to that. My childhood was not real, real fucked up, but I did have an authoritarian parent. I would never have snuck out in my life, would not have dreamed of it. The consequences of that choice would not have been worth it. No amount of dopamine I could seek by sneaking out of the house would have been worth the consequences I would have had to pay if I'd been caught. So I never would have snuck out. I was a good kid. And then I moved out. And that's when it all went sideways. Completely, utterly foobar.
That freedom and the still lack of impulse control of a very young brain. Yeah.
Again, our prefrontal cortexes are not fully online till around age 25, give or take.
Yeah.
And we release these humans around 18, 19, 20 years old. Best of fucking luck, don't die.
Yeah. You ever look back at 22-year-old you and you're like, I really thought I was fully grown up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
That's so cute.
Oh, for sure. I'm watching Abby approach parts of my own life where I have vivid memories and she's having similar feelings. I mean, there are a lot of universal human experiences. And she's like, all these things are not as big a deal as they feel like in the moment. Okay, yeah. And then I'm at the point where I'm like, yeah, you're right. That does sound like your world is ending. And
it does have to be your whole world right now. That's part of growing up. Yeah.
Yes. But then the logical part of my adult brain is going, man, you are going to be so fucking pissed at yourself for wasting all this energy in 10 years.
You're not even going to remember this feeling.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You're right. It's a big deal right now. So it's that random, I am supporting you because it's what you need. I'm not supporting you because it's actually important in the grand scheme of things. It's important to you now. That's such nuanced language
Nuanced. Right. But that's how it works.
As far as privacy goes, yes, your kids are entitled to privacy and it's really about the communication and the boundaries that you set around that.
And the why. I have this thing where Gwenna knows this about me. I ask more questions than an average 2-year-old every day of my life. And they're good questions. And sometimes they're really frustrating questions because I ask questions people don't have answers for. But I have so many questions because I really desperately want to understand things. I can accept that this is just how it is, but if you can't tell me why, it is going to frustrate me.
The number of times I end up texting Tori, I don't know how to better explain purple. This is all the words I have for purple. I'm out. If you don't get where I'm at, we'll just change topics because I'm not getting you there.
It happens. I also have learned in my life that I can tell when someone is done with my shit. And I'm like, I just don't get to understand this. That's okay. I'll move on. That's fine. It's like that sometimes. But because of my own informed experience of always wanting to know why, that has informed my intentions as a parent, where when I provide a boundary rule expectation for my kids, I also try to provide the context to the best of my ability before they can ask why, so that when they do consider it, they can then ask better questions if they have them, so that they can fully understand. Because I don't think my kids care as much about why. One of them does. One of them does.
Yes.
The other one's not so much, but they still get to know why. And I think that's just helpful sometimes. And I think it helps them be more cooperative.
Well, and I've seen the boy child. He now automatically begins to provide context in a very 5-year-old manner. So it doesn't always make all the sense, but he'll be like, I'm going to wear khaki pants because, and then he'll rattle off sometimes very sensical. Yeah, that's a good reason to have chosen khakis today, or just complete 5-year-old nonsense. Okay, still a good reason to have worn khakis today. And a lot of times he's defining things that dude, you're wearing pants. I literally don't care what pants you put on.
Thank you for putting the pants on. I appreciate that.
I'm just glad you're wearing pants. But then I have to sit there and listen to his whole like reason he's wearing khakis instead of athletic pants or whatever he's telling me. Like, he started providing context with zero context as to why we provide context.
Yeah.
But in his head, that's just how you communicate. You say the decision that you made and you give an explanation for it.
That's in my house. We all talk so much here. So much. There's so much context, so many questions. It's nonstop.
So we're going to have to part two this because I very much want to go over digital privacy and I want to go over
internet safety
and internet safety.
It's time. Yeah.
And we need to talk about what to do to rebuild that trust once we've lost it.
Yes.
Once the privacy has moved from right to privilege, we need to talk about methods to rebuild the trust because we both have had experience with breaking trust, both as parents and as children.
Yeah.
And we have some stuff that might help, but there it is.
Yep.
I snuck a look at the clock. I knew the timer was coming.
I saw. I was like, what do you mean part two? What is time? I don't have time in my brain, but I saw the look on your face and I was like, she looked at the clock.
I did look at the clock. I looked at the clock. I knew the timer was coming. But we will have to do a part two of privacy.
And internet on the internet. And
internet safety.
That might be like a 7-part series of the internet.
Oh my God.
So many.
So thank you so much for listening to Childproof from Betches Media. We do want to hear from you. We want to hear all of the ways that you have lost and rebuilt trust with your kids. Since we have an opportunity to do this, we want to see if there are some emails that we can draw on for our part two. Email us at childproof@betches.com with ways that you have lost and rebuilt trust with your kids or your parents. Because you were also a kid once upon a time.
That is true. That is how most of us begin. Yeah. And be sure to give us a follow. I am Tori Phantom in all the places. She's Mama Cusses. And make sure you're following Betches Moms too.
Don't forget to pre-order my book. It comes out this year, just a few months from now. If you have pre-ordered Mama Cusses, A Field Guide to Responsive Parenting and Trying Not to Be the Reason Your Kids Need Therapy.
By TikTok sensation Gwenna Lathland.
I hate you. Out from St. Martin's Press, a division of Macmillan. It will be in your hands in just a couple short months. I've also got a book tour coming up. I will have more information in the coming weeks of where I'm going to be, when, and how you can come see me. So yeah, pre-order my book. We'll drop a link inside the show notes.
Yes, pre-order the book and continue to tune in every Wednesday, everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss out on an episode and leave us a rating. We love reading them.
And remember, sometimes our kids are assholes.
And sometimes it's us.
But they still get to be private about it. Childproof is produced by Rebecca Sals-McCapp and Sean Kilby. Editing by Shannon Sassone. Social media by Lauren Salome. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your email at childproof@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy, perfectly blending refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness. All with zero sugar and zero calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, there's a flavor for everyone to enjoy. My favorite flavor is the lemon.
The mandarin orange is my favorite flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.